Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service, given by Pastor Paul Harmon. This message was recorded on July 5th, 2015, and is entitled, Free to Be a Slave.
What a joy for us to be together. It really is. And I'm grateful for your time invested here. And we love getting into the Word of the Lord. And as we take our Bibles in hand, I'm opening mine to Romans chapter 6. It's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts, Romans chapter 6. We're taking a look at a topic today about freedom. And the title of today's message is Free to Be a Slave. I know that sounds odd, but I like freedom. And I like to pick who I'm going to follow. And we're talking about freedom. Isn't it wonderful to be in America? Whether you are born here or not, somehow you're here. And what a great nation we have. How many know America is 239 years old? That sounds a lot. Sounds a lot. It really isn't it? You've been with us on our Middle East tours and things like that. We've seen not only nations, but some cities that are 4,000 years of age. 4,000 years of age. Hello. And what really is the kicker, I mean, they've been around a long time and they still look like they're in the Stone Age. So how is it that our nation, so young as it is, has prospered so? I know you want to give yourself a pat on the back and say it's because of my ingenuity. Well, good job. But there's also something because our founding fathers acknowledged our Creator. Isn't that true? It really is true. It's significant. So freedom is what attracted a lot of people to our nation throughout those 100 years. Maybe some of your relatives came through a place called Ellis Island. Isn't it great to go to New York? See an island there, and behold, there is the Statue of Liberty. Under Lady Liberty is a placard by a young lady, Emma Lazarus. She herself, a Jewish immigrant, who came, and she wrote something that's called the New Colossus. And let me just read one of the lines that are there. If you've gone and seen the Statue of Liberty, it says, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuge of your teeming shores, I lift my lamp beside the golden door." Isn't that nice to be as an American, just to be ourselves, even in church, to say, hey man, come on, God will do you good. But that was, they pursued something of real freedom. They were looking for freedom of religion, freedom of worship. They were looking for freedom from tyrannical kind of governments that would tell the people, you got to do this. And so what kind of a nation did they come looking for? They knew of something because this nation called America said that we, in God we trust, are one nation under God. Our founding fathers understood that we were one nation under God, wrote a great declaration called the Declaration of Independence. Let me give you the second paragraph to that as well. It says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men were created, I like that word, not evolved, all men, just throw that out there, let that resonate, all men were created equal, and that they were endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, among these, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, I like America. I like freedom. It's a joy to be here today. It's wonderful to talk this way. We're taking a look, though. There's something even more important. As your phrase in your note says, there is a level of freedom that is better than political, social, or any kind of freedom, and that's freedom from sin. Freedom from sin. I want to talk to you today because find that there is a great life we have in Jesus, but there can be something that can encroach upon, yes, even Christians, where we really aren't free. We're in a land of freedom, but we are not truly free. And Paul, the apostle, under the writing of the Holy Spirit, he's writing to a church in Rome. And he's just finished in chapter 6 about how we have this truth, this teaching truth called doctrine. Through Jesus, we've all identified through the waters of baptism, Jesus' death, his burial, and resurrection. Now that's a truth. Now he's going to start talking about how do you live that truth out in actuality. So it's one thing to say, man, I know that. Hey, yeah, man, I know that. But how about a positive element where we start to experience that in our own life, a new life? So let's take a look here. And as is our custom, before we proceed reading the Bible, I'm sure you do the same in your private time reading God's Word. we always ask the Lord, help us to understand. So Lord, as we just, one thing to lift the lamp to the golden door, man, we lift the word up to say, Lord, let us see some of the golden truths of your word today by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's look. I'm in Romans chapter 6. We're looking at verse 12 through to the end of the chapter. And we're seeing here our first point, what have we been set free from? Master of bondage or from sin and from self. But let's look at verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. And what fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Taking a look here, we have been set free from basically a master of bondage. I don't know about some of your histories. It's interesting as a pastor and in being in a wonderful city called Huntington Beach. I mean, we've got it all going on, but it's amazing how people can still be in bondage or still be mastered by something. And then Jesus comes into their life and they feel like this liberty and this freedom that comes around. It's wonderful. And this word called slave or slavery is something worth noting. Isn't it interesting that the Apostle Paul, when he would write many of his writings or epistles, he'd start them off, Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ. Paul, a bondservant of the Lord Jesus. He understood that. Why would he use such terminology? Here he has it still going on too. Man, you've been set free from something, but now you need to apply yourself somewhere else. And he actually says, isn't it nice to just go right on with being a slave for God? And follow him. There's leading to that, the area of life. He takes a lot of that. If you've been familiar and as you read your Old Testament with us, you might want to write down and check it out with me. Deuteronomy 15, verse 12 through 18. In Deuteronomy 15, that's where the law comes in. If a person is in poverty, they cannot pay their debt. That the law would allow that person to work off their debt. In other words, they became a slave, often for 6 years. Slave. You didn't just show up for work. That person owned you. And so at the seventh year, the law says you need to let them go. You need to let them get back to their life. They've paid their debt. But it's interesting there that if that slave who's in poverty says, I don't want to go, I love my master, then let that slave stay forever. And you take that slave, find a doorpost, get a sharp point, and drill a hole through their earlobe and put a ringlet right there. She's now a slave forever. Why would they do that? The term in Deuteronomy 15, I love my master. Isn't that amazing? He's so good to me, I'm going to stay. So when we take a look at what the Bible is saying here, free to be a slave, sounds terrible, but actually when somebody says, I love what the Lord has done to me, I want to stay forever. Letter A on your notes, freedom doesn't come from sin. That will only enslave you. Now, you and I are aware of that. If you've ever been addicted to something, you realize you'd love to stop. You really aren't as free as you once or would like to be. But we see in verse 12 here again, it says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. Now, that's a struggle right off the gate. So people that say, isn't it great to be in America? We can do whatever we want. Yeah, well, that's true. But why would anybody want to be enslaved to something called sin? And you know, that's an interesting word even, because the word sin is not often used, we're finding, even in church circles. Because it could be quite offensive to say, you know, that's a sin. What? What? You know, James 4, 17 very clearly says, to him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. So it's not even just the Ten Commandments. Somewhere in us, we just realize, I know what to do, and I know what's right, and I know what's wrong. My upbringing said so, basically. So when you look here, how that sin could actually cause a real problem when it reigns in a person, they are not as free as they think they are to go after. That sin is calling them to obey. Letter B, freedom doesn't come from self either. That will only deceive you. Now, it is important, and I like the fact in our lands that we have an ability to serve self, isn't that? Man, that pursuit of happiness. Why not? But sometimes in our pursuit of happiness, we forsake the greater good of humanity. Man, our nation did not just come together because every man and woman for themselves. It was, how can I help generate something here and help the greater good and cause not only commerce, but just the community? Man, our nation needs the local church. God is the one, Jesus himself, said, I'm going to name it. Peter, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. So he named it. He planted it. He says, I'm going to build it. And then he says he's going to protect it, and the gates of hell won't prevail. So isn't it wonderful when we take a look at this, the access, recognizing that really the way that life, we would want to be careful, because freedom doesn't come from really serving self or seeking self. That can actually deceive a person. Sometimes just routines can make permanent, isn't it true? That's just a pattern. It's what I usually like. Come home, do this for hours and hours, and before you know it, that pattern becomes a habit, and a habit becomes a character. So you're known for the choices that you and I make. You say, well, that's a beautiful thing about America. I can do this forever. Well, do you? Do I want to be known for that pattern? Because practice doesn't make perfect. Practice can actually make permanent, and you got to be careful about that. It's just like a child playing scales on up and down on a piano. They work that on the keyboard to where they finally get it down. Same with an athlete. Practice shooting those shots so that they don't have to think about it when the game time comes. It becomes, oh, so natural for that person. So be careful. Sometimes we want to just say, I don't want to be in that location. Even though I have that liberty for myself, I feel this is taking over. Like the country doctor had a person come along to him, rushed into the little country doctor office and said, Doc, you got to tell me what to do. I broke my arm in two places. The doctor said, I'll tell you what to do. Stay away from them places. What? Some things we just have to watch out. It can really harm us. But lovers of self is really one of the indicators of the end times. Now, are we in the end times? I don't know. But we certainly find that if you were to write down and maybe take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 with me. Let's go to the right. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You'll find that right after 1 and 2 Thessalonians. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's look at verse 1. So 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. Says this very clearly. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, they might even show up for church on occasion, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. So maybe that country doctor's remedy is pretty good. Just stay away from that. But isn't it interesting in our day and age how these things start to unfold? Be careful. Not always self, you would say, would be helpful. And all of these may be even permittable in the area of our great nation called America. But not so for those who want to walk in freedom, as you can deceive yourself. Let's take a look at point number two. What have we been set free from? We have a bottle of water. What have we been set free for, to become slaves of God and righteousness? Thank you. Look at verse 14. Get Romans chapter 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Just for a moment here, isn't it interesting? Law does not save us. When we say law, like the Ten Commandments, that's law. It's a good thing. But see, law in itself basically does many things, but it does this. It commands, it demands, it rebukes, it condemns people, it restrains, and may even point itself to someone else. But the law can never save. You and I might take a look and say, well, I'll go ahead and I'll just put a bunch of rules and regulations in my life. How many know you cannot keep that? I mean, we've all tried to be good. But there's something that happens when we set up a standard saying, well, I'll always work this out, but we break that, we find ourselves injuring ourselves. Matter of fact, Galatians 2:16, by the work of the law, no flesh will be justified. How is it? We have been set free for, basically this, to become slaves of God in righteousness. How wonderful it is when we come along and in verse 13, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members of instruments as instruments of righteousness to God. Friends, what a great opportunity when we say we start to present ourselves to the Lord. I don't know if you've had those occasions where you start to, just little by little, start to walk in more freedom and liberty. Great story about four Christian guys. They stayed up in a hotel because the next day was a sporting event. And three of the guys pulled out the deck of cards and said, hey, let's play poker while we're waiting for the morning to arrive. And fourth dude had a bad addiction to gambling. The guy said, I cannot play. So why not? I left my hands at home. What do you mean you left your hands at home? He said, these hands have become instruments for God now, and they're not here to play poker. Isn't it interesting when we make those decisions? What is it that you and I might need to say, there's certain things of my life or my pattern that really are now, I choose to give it to God. Boy, that's a great decision. Set free. Man, set free. For what? You have to do something with that. Very important. Make choices. The joy of serving others is an amazing experience. I'm sure you're aware of that. I'm sure you've experienced that. How wonderful here at Hope Chapel. We have something called sit and serve. That's the joy of our abbreviated services so that you would take maybe a two-hour stretch of time to enjoy ministry called sit. Everybody enjoying it? Like the environment, very comfortable. Sit on back, receive the presence and the environment of the Lord and each other. And then in another service, serve. Wow, that's a great way to live life. To serve the Lord is to really serve somebody else. But how much more so the church of Jesus? Galatians 6:10 says that. While you have opportunity, that verse says, let us do good to all, but especially the household of faith. So as you are serving humanity, have you taken occasion to say, I don't want to be about self anymore? I'll tell you, if you don't, sometimes in our boredom, in our trying to find some place to relax, It's an amazing, our mind becomes very creative. We can't even go back into old patterns that once we were set free from. Man, why don't we use that freedom, maybe even that spare time, let's serve somebody. Isn't that a beautiful thing? As you are serving, say, this faith family called Hope Chapel, it really is as if you were washing the disciples' feet. You are actually washing Jesus' feet. He's the head of the church. Can I encourage you? Please step into serving some area, because I'll tell you, you will be inspired. Your life will be rich. And there comes a time when we all realize that we've received much, but it's wonderful to start to give out much as well. How about letter A? Freedom comes from the Son. He's the only one that redeems you. I've enjoyed communion today and grateful for the way it was distributed. It's always fun to have communion together, but the way that the Lord has brought that solution through Jesus, I love it so much. Many times I've had to take a look at Isaiah chapter 53, where it talks about the suffering servant prophesied how in verse 6, that the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Where did my sin go? Where did your sins go? I like looking at verse 6. It shows us a very direct approach. My sins went on Jesus Christ. So, Jesus comes along and, man, he just sets us free. Now where do we go? Sometimes we start hot and, man, are going strong. And then something hits the fan and we back off or we hide and run and go into seclusion. Isn't that the way it is when we make mistakes or we fail? And we all fail. Don't we all fail? Yeah, all six of you are agreeing with me. Well, I'll tell you, let's practice something here. It's healthy to admit, to say, I fail sometimes. I do. I fail sometimes. So why don't you go ahead and just take a moment, turn to somebody next to you, and just confess and say, I fail sometimes. Go ahead. Just try it right now. Good. Yeah. Good. Well, now you got that out of the way. Just turn back to the other person, turn back and say, I'm sorry. Go ahead and let them, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Look, oh, yeah. Some of you married couples are just thanking me right about now. He's never said that to me. Thank you so much. Amazing too, isn't it? Because we can allow failure to control us. You can see it in people. We become fearful. It causes us to want to quit. People go into depression. We're talking people loving Jesus. They get into areas where they become loners, secretive. They go into seclusion. We were never called to do that. Feel like we can't serve anybody anymore, can't help anyone. Because the enemy just bombards us, we become slaves again. There's a pattern that's resurrected once again, and God wants to set us free. Letter B, whom the Son sets free is really free. I mean, we're talking freedom today, and that's what I love about Jesus. It's great when we get a chance. We don't want to be discouraged. We're not under a master of some sort. You and I can make a choice. We make choices all the time. Choices all the time. Each person, statistically, will make 300 choices in one day. 100 of those choices may make far-reaching implications, like, should I run that yellow light? Others wonder what I'll wear for church. Wonder if I want to wear shoes. Huh? Wonder what I'll eat for breakfast. But we make choices. Some of us will say, well, I wonder if I should go to church on Sunday. Yeah, I'll go. I'll always go to church on Sunday. But I won't go to those discipleship classes, so we choose not to. Oh, I want to go to the church potluck, but I don't want to go to the midweek small groups. So we make choices, and somewhere when we say no to certain things, things can creep in and cause a real problem. So the contrast between even choices, our passage of Scripture lays it out very clearly. Isn't it interesting about just yielding our members again? Liberated, set free, but we yield back to sin. Verse 16, it says, whether of sin leading to death. Isn't that amazing? I've seen wonderful people, great couples that just are not doing right, and that great relationship, both at a home environment to a work relationship contract, suspicion comes in because sin leads to death. Verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. So it's very clear. I mean, sin has a payout. And as the state of California says, if you work so many hours, that's you're going to earn a wage of pay. That's man's law. But God's law says it's much more sure than man's. If you decide I'm just going to kind of cruise on through and apply myself, there is something of a payout that comes. And I love the Lord, how he wants to set us free from those things that will eventually creep in, cause decay, and cause death. So when we come down to it here today, friends, there are those choices that come along. I'll have people that somewhat will say certain patterns, or this is in conversation, and life's been good. But certain questions will come like this. Here's four of them. What if we choose our old master above the new one? What if we just, you know, church is good, but I just felt more comfortable when I was kind of in bondage and in addiction. Number two question, what if our own desires to do what we want to do are more important to us? That's an important thing. It's more important. I got my opinion. Number three question, what if the pull of the world is more important to us than the pull of God on our hearts? Those are decisions that we all make. And then number four, what if we choose to keep those habits and not submit to them and submit them to the control of the Holy Spirit? Well, all I can say is Scripture is very clear. God's not trying to rain on anybody's parade. There's a beautiful area of just walking in freedom from sin. Why? Because he doesn't want anybody to die. He doesn't want those that you're there to serve and to help. He doesn't want your work to go into destruction. Sometimes great relationships, wonderful homes have been destroyed. Happy marriages, what happened? Something crept in that we said, I've got liberty in the land, but how about spiritually? We've got to be careful. So be watchful and mindful. I know the Lord is here really to just set us free. And part of that is I want to encourage you. I like the story of Peter. How many of you know Peter was riddled with failure? And as we recognize how Peter, let's go ahead and drop the lights, as Peter, who denied the Lord three times, remember that? Denied the Lord three times. And this was after Jesus warned him. Pete, I'm going to tell you, you'll know it's true because once that rooster crows, you will have denied me three times. He goes through with it, denies the Lord, cries bitterly. Jesus goes to the cross for sinful decisions like that. Praise God. Buried, resurrects, and upon his return in John 21:14, remember that? He appears to Peter and he asks him first out of the gate, Peter, do you love me? Don't you love that about Jesus? That's what he's saying here today. Peter, do you love me? Now, why would the Lord say something like that? I mean, I know people, don't you? I mean, they get their feathers ruffled up. They've got bitterness. They could flick it off their shoulders, but they let it rest, and they are so embittered. I'm glad Jesus didn't show up to Pete and just say, hey, Pete, I just got to tell you, man, I resurrected. Come back and tell you, thanks a lot, dude. I warned you about denying me, and you went through with it anyway. And you, all you macho disciples, I'm on the cross for you, and where did you guys run off to? You left me. Way to go. Way to go, you macho dudes. But he didn't do that. Isn't it amazing? He didn't also bring up the fact, I just came up here to tell you that you failed me, and if you ever get happy in your life, I'm going to remind you what a failure we were at that time. But Jesus is so loving. He told Peter, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I do, he said. He asked him again, Peter, do you love me? Oh, Lord, I do. I love you. Feed my lambies. Pete, if you're really going to stay free, work with my people. I hear the Lord say that to some of you. Don't just faith it out and be an island unto yourself. Then he asked him the third time, Peter, do you love me? Oh, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. Feed my sheep. So what a great God. What Jesus knew about Peter and he knows about us may be filled with mistakes, riddled with failure. But if we love Jesus, we're going to be okay. We're going to keep coming back. You're here today. It's a great sign. You're here today. It's a sign that you love the Lord. And God's call to say, feed my lambies. Take care of my sheep. There's things that God has for us to do, and I want to encourage you now. Let's go ahead and close our Bibles, and we want to sing a song, and let's just see how the Lord will direct us as well. Would you stand to your feet? Love to have you stand. Let's sing this song and see how the Holy Spirit now starts to move in our setting. He's here, you know. God is here. Let's just wait just a little longer before He sends us on our merry way. Friends, would you close your eyes with me just for a moment here? I feel like the Lord would like to take some of us back to that point when we just said no to the Lord. How would we say no to the Lord? Well, you know He had asked you at one juncture of your life, will you do this for me? And we either got scared or too busy. We said, Lord, not now. And we've never come back to that, and He's bringing you back to that right now. Will you be His follower? Will you serve Him even to the point where it feels like you're a slave, bringing life to many? Lord, move in that area. You see that? See where the Lord talked to you? Some of you may have gone all the way back to kids' camp and just kind of put that down, that call upon your life. We're going to sing this song again, and I want to encourage you. I think faith put to our feet just makes a great breakthrough. Great breakthrough. God is here, and we're not wanting to embarrass. This will not be embarrassing to anybody. We're in the chapel. It's a safe haven. But if you feel the Lord is calling you to come out from areas that have entrapped you, but more importantly, going back to that call to say, Lord, I want to serve you. I'm going to invite you to make your way up front. Would you be willing to do that? We're going to sing right now, but just come on up here and just say, Lord, man, I hear what you're doing, and today's the day I'm going to serve the Lord. Let's sing that song again. Dear ones, I'm so excited that you came up. Thank you. And I want to speak to not only you real quick and to you who are listening, because sometimes we stay in our seats, but God's nevertheless still stirring in our hearts. Now, the world knows, and we get a chance as pastor to embrace and say, thank God, thank God, thank God for you. Heaven knows you in the seats because no one knows, but God knows. And I want to just declare this. It's going to be important. You who are here, you who are in your seats that just had that breakthrough of saying, I want to serve the Lord. Get a hold of Pastor Paul. That's me. That's why I'm here. I'm here to serve the Lord. And my assignment is to serve this beautiful church called Hope Chapel. Do call me at your earliest convenience and say, I feel the Lord is leading me to get more acquainted with Him and less involved with things that have sucked me dry. God spoke to me, and as pastor, please help equip me to do the work of the ministry. And that accountability is really what's a safe haven for you and me. Accountability, friends. If you have not been accountable to anyone, please consider. Because what grows in the dark dies in the light when it's exposed. Let somebody know. And a safe haven is to let the pastor know. So I want to just pass that on. I'm going to pray a blessing off on each and every one. What a great day. What a great day. 4th of July continues on. Real liberty for you and me. So glad that you came to Hope Chapel, each and every one of you. But I'm very impressed, extremely pleased. So let's lift our hands to the Lord as if you're going to receive a blessing, either cupped before you or palms up. Father, we want to thank you. And Lord, I just believe, especially for those that made a declaration for you today, I just speak John 15:7. Jesus, you said, if we abide in you and your word abides in us, we can ask what we desire and it will be done for us. Lord, I have wants and needs, but you're saying desire. You know these dear ones that said, Lord, I'm following you. So therefore, with the word and abiding once again, Lord, you know the heart's desire. It will be done for them. So, Lord, we want to thank you now. These great humans who have said we consecrate ourselves to you today. Lord, they're holy. They're sacred. We set them apart with great joy. And Lord, this church that you've established, we just bless not only our participators, but also our guests, our visitors. Lord, prosper each and every one. Let them not miss the will of God and the way of complete salvation for each and every one. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you, friends. Thanks so much. Let's just thank the Lord. Make sure you hug one another. Would you do that? God bless you.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.